Paul was not there from the beginning. The disciples made a mistake before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost when they set the criteria for Judas Iscariot's replacement. Let us pick one who has been with us from the beginning, from the goings in and the comings out with Jesus Christ. Let another take his place, quoting the Psalms. And so they chose Matthias. Matthias was an apostle of the apostles. He was not an apostle of Jesus Christ. But Christ was not going to come along and badmouth Matthias because Matthias was a righteous man.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick continues teaching through 1 John chapter 1 in his message called The Participant.
We're in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full. I realize we did read that, but it was certainly worth reading again. As consideration, the emphasis will be on the participant. Would be a good name for a Christian movie or Christian life, the participant. Not only an eyewitness, but one who is part of what is going on, part of what they are witnessing. I'd like to go back just briefly and look at some of the words of John the Apostle from his gospel, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, but of course the one that has been recorded for us through the pen of John. There in the 21st chapter, 24th verse, towards the end, he says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." And so throughout his writings, John, and knowing that this trash-worthy teaching known as Gnosticism, he knew this was around, and he's dealing with it in his gospel and then in his letters. And by the time he gets to the Revelation, he's on another level doing a whole nother thing, not without the facts of Jesus Christ, who he is. And so when he writes his gospel, he gives us Christ is God the Son, equal with the Father. And he gives it to us in this way. He says, "I was there. I didn't see one thing happen. I saw countless things happen. I didn't see it one day or in a week or a short stay with Jesus while visiting. I was there for over 3 years with him. In fact, I was there with him from the beginning. I remember the time of day it was when Jesus said to me, 'Come and see where I'm staying.'" John writes about that in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And what we're getting from him in this letter is this message to believers: stand firm in what you believe in. Don't worry about what the other guy is saying. Worry about what Christ is saying. Focus on that. And this is why he doesn't give airtime to these fake teachers. Now, Peter, of course, tells us that we should be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us, that we should be, in that sense, defenders of what we believe. Paul says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Now, true, he said that to a pastor, but it applies to all Christians. And yet, life, you know, there's so many demands. We just can't study everything and be ready all the time. You cannot always give an answer for what we believe in response to some challenge. We can always say why we believe. And when we cannot articulate a defense the way we would like to, we fall back to what we believe. I don't mean retreat. I mean we just sort of lock down. Jesus said to do it this way, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And I say all of this because Satan will come along and say, "You had a chance to preach the gospel and you blew it." And our response to Satan is, "Who listens to you? Let your light shine." So you blew it, according to Satan. The Lord has other moves. And people do come to Christ by just watching the light shine in the lives of believers. It is not uncommon. Well, that's what John is saying. Okay, they believe what they believe. Here's what we believe. You focus on this. You be the believer. I was there. I know what I'm talking about. You're going to line up with me or not. And so now let's open it up and see the strength of all of these things being said. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. 5 major beginnings there are in Scripture. There is the beginning of God. Now, that is not a commencement, but an expression of his eternal self-existence. God has always been, and he always will be. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, thus says Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. He'll go on to also say, there's none before me, there's none after. I'm it. And so it's just this beginning in the sense of no matter how far back you go, no matter where you begin, God is there. Well, that's one beginning in Scripture. Then there is the beginning of visible creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1. We know that that was Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him, speaking of Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. You cannot say that about anyone less than God. This is why the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons will not be forgiven for rejecting him and what he says. And to dare to come along and say, yeah, well, look, I also found this little note by someone else, and I'm going to believe that rather than Paul the Apostle. That is to sign your own death sentence, spiritually speaking. When Jesus spoke about denying him, he spoke about those who reject who he said he is. In his days when he walked, and also through the prophets and the apostles after. So you have the beginning of God, not a commencement, but an expression of his eternal existence, his self-existence. The beginning of visible creation and invisible creation, you could include that. And then there is the beginning of the Word becoming flesh, the incarnation, Mary conceiving of the Spirit, and of course giving birth, the virgin birth. John writes it this way in his Gospel in chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Don't leave out the only begotten, the only one that has come forth from the Father, because he's equal with the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, that people could say that about me, that they could say that about you. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, and that will produce grace, an awareness of your own shortcomings and the need to be gentle with others. Then there is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, which John is really talking about here in this first verse where he says that which was from the beginning. He's really, in the context of all that he's saying, is talking about the beginning of the public ministry of Christ. Luke starts the book of Acts that way. He says, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And then there's another beginning, and I'll come back to the beginning of Christ's public ministry in a moment, and all these beginnings, but there's one more beginning in Scripture that's very important to me, and hopefully it is important to you too. And that is the beginning of my personal relationship with God. That is in the Scriptures. Not my name, me, then, historically, but later. And it most definitely applies to all who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the context again of these first four verses, the beginning of Christ's public ministry. For John is dealing with what he has witnessed, the real Christ, the authentic testimony of this apostle. But if we were to say to John, John, I've got in front of you these four verses that you wrote, and we put them into verses, by the way, John, aren't you proud of us? What beginning are you talking about? Are you talking about eternity past, creation, the incarnation, or the beginning of the public ministry? And John, I think without hesitation, would say, I was talking about the beginning of his ministry, which includes all those. All of those are baked into it. You can't extract them. You would ruin it, the artwork of God that way. Revelation 1, verse 8, there he returns to this very subject, but he goes further back. Christ speaking to John, John writing down for us what Christ said to him, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, Almighty. You can't top that. You can't even match it. This is why we love the Lord so much. This is why he is splendid beyond words. It's why we bow down and worship him. I recommend from time to time to fall down on your face in front of the Lord and just talk to him. Some of you might need help getting up, so you may have to think about how you're going to do that. But for those of you who are still physically able, I recommend it strongly. You may even find yourself speaking in tongues. Well, the Lord Jesus, of course, has no beginning. He always was, when we technically look at it. So, but we have to understand, what is he talking about? So he says, the public ministry, from the beginning, I was there. He says, which we have heard. All those sermons of Christ, his teachings, his rebukes, his encouragements, the facial expressions, the gestures, the moments leading up to his sermons and the moments after. John was there for all of it. He said, we heard that. The testimony of an eyewitness and a participant, not just on the sidelines watching the game, but part of it, to the point of being a martyr for Christ. Not a martyr unto the death, but certainly unto persecution. Far more convincing is this testimony from this man than from any of these philosophers through the ages, there in John's day or after. Who are you going to listen to? Some professor or Jesus Christ and the men that he sent to be his apostles? Peter says it this way, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we heard his voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. They heard the Father. They were with the Son. The Father said, listen to my Son. To reject the Son is to reject the Father. John continues in verse 1. He says, which we have seen with our eyes. That narrows it down, the candidates of authorship to this document, does it not? We have seen with our eyes. Who is this we, John? John is such a nobleman of the faith, that he's saying, it's not just me. There were others with me. There was Philip and Andrew and James and Peter, Bartholomew. There were others with me. And we are in unison with this. There's no division amongst us concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ. In Luke's gospel, we read this in chapter 10, speaking of Jesus. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. But John is letting it rip here. He's saying, I was there, I saw it. Jesus said, I'm blessed because I saw these things. Do we still see things? Absolutely. Who does not go to the scripture that's a believer and sees things? In fact, we have a phrase. We say, I never saw that before. Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, speaking to Thomas, that heartbroken man of Christ. Thomas was courageous. I protest against those who call him coward or anything less than a lover of Jesus Christ. Again, a reminder, Thomas said, let's go to Jerusalem that we may die with him. He was ready to die with Christ, but he was a train wreck at the loss of Christ. He didn't know what to do at the crucifixion. He locked down. I'm not going to believe. Unless I put my fingers in his wounds, I'm out. He didn't know how to process it. Jesus knew what to do with him. Jesus said to him, Thomas. I'm sure when Jesus spoke the name of those people that were around him often, he said it like no one else could say it. He does it with us. He does it with me. I know that. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm his. Mary knew him by the tone of his voice when he said, Mary. It's just the way he said it to her. She thought he was the gardener. She's looking right at him. If you know where they've taken my Lord, tell me and I will carry him away. And he said, Mary. Oh, Rabboni, she knew. What a moment. Why was not someone there with a tripod and camera to catch that? And we got other things to catch, like how not to fry a turkey. I don't know if I never knew this. Nobody fries turkeys in New York City. Well, we use it in a different way. We talk about turkeys. But anyhow, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. Jesus always looking to eternity future, always looking down the road, knowing everybody from the foundations of the world. He's got it together. It is why John lived to suffer. Revelation 1, verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I have been banished to an island because of my faith in Jesus Christ, because I preached it and wouldn't shut up, and I'm still not shutting up, and here I am on the Isle of Patmos, and I'm getting a revelation from God, and I'm going to write it down, and it's going to last until he comes back. John's Gospel, chapter 1. John was there for this. John the baptizer pointed to Jesus Christ, and John writes it down. The next day, John, the baptizer, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then, a few verses later, and gazing at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. You catch that little detail? John the Apostle remembers John the Baptist gazing at Christ. The emphasis is in the Greek. He's staring at him. And John remembers that Jesus was walking at the moment. You just don't forget these kind of things when they happen and God is involved. So he says, I was a witness from the beginning. When we read these documents in the New Testament, all of them can say this. Well, there's a few twists and turns, but it comes up with the same answer. Luke, the beloved physician, was not there physically for the life of Christ, but the Holy Spirit poured so much into Luke, you cannot discount him. He's part of it now. So it was with Paul. Paul was not there from the beginning. The disciples made a mistake before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost when they set the criteria for Judas Iscariot's replacement. Let us pick one who has been with us from the beginning, from the goings in and the comings out with Jesus Christ. Let another take his place, quoting the Psalms. And so they chose Matthias. Matthias was an apostle of the apostles. He was not an apostle of Jesus Christ. But Christ was not going to come along and badmouth Matthias because Matthias was a righteous man, noble, worthy of the position, just not the choice of Jesus Christ. Paul was. Now, as some commentators, of course, may not agree with that, but that's why they're wrong. Anyway, the Lamb of God, Mary, the mother of Jesus according to the flesh, she staked everything on what she saw. Can you imagine the courage? She had to be very young because, you know, when you're very young, you just don't think of things like you do when you get older. And she was sort of shielded by her innocence and godly ignorance, if I can say it that way, with consequences. And she just seems to be quite chirpy about the whole coming of the Spirit upon her with child. Joseph, on the other hand, was a little older, and he had to deal with some issues. So intense was it for Joseph, God had to give him a dream. Well, Mary, she placed everything on it. I mean, it was, how would she face the public? She said that she saw Gabriel. And Gabriel, that angel, made promises, and she saw them fulfilled. She walked through the whole thing, never backed down from it. In fact, she went to seek spiritual assistance from Elizabeth and received it. When she walked in the door, the child in the womb of Elizabeth leaped in testimony and confirmation. We may not always know why, but we know who. And that's where Mary found herself. There's a lot of questions she couldn't answer. Joseph could have said something like, are you expecting me to believe this? What is going on? She could just, I don't know. But I'm telling you what I saw, and I'm not backing down from it. Then, with us, when we have these experiences of faith and truth, maybe you sit in a sermon, through a sermon, and you know God's speaking to you on a particular point. He's just laying it out through, gently, thoroughly, however, even sometimes very strongly. And whatever it is, you know it's Him. And you can bet that seed-plucking devil is always working to take away what the Spirit has put there. And you're going to just have to learn how to fight that. You have to become skilled at dealing with that. You have to smell an ambush. And you have to know how to respond to it. And you get that higher level of Christianity by participating in the Christian faith, not standing outside of it or just claiming it or mouthing it, or talking to the Lord, being with His Word, and dare I say, fellowship. I'm getting ahead of myself because I feel pretty good right now, actually. And then I'll get down further and say, oh, well, that bullet point. So anyway, iron sharpens iron. We put it on refrigerators, on mugs, on t-shirts. But you know, iron sharpening iron is friction. It's things striking, hard things striking against hard things. The church, the assembly, is to offer fellowship. You are sometimes going to be irritated and challenged and bothered by other people in the fellowship. The best advice I could give is stay grown up when you face those things. Don't go back to being childish. Just deal with them. Accept them. Keep your eyes on Christ. Be blameless and be friends. Now, that's a bit of dating advice at no cost to you. You dating now? Be blameless, be friends. And let the Lord take it from there. Well, He says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. I sure hope we get to verse 4. The we are, again, those with John, the 11, and others. Well, Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for the Spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Of course, Jesus is saying this after the resurrection, when He appears to them. He's saying, I'm not a phantom. I am real. And Acts chapter 10, verse 41, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.